We continue now with the sermon, and our sermon text is from Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 19. I'll read that in just a second. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What are your fears? It's a good question to ask every now and then. What are you afraid of? For me, one of my biggest fears, you're probably going to laugh, it's a little silly. One of my biggest fears is snakes. I hate snakes. I can't stand them. I'm terrified of them. If there's ever one in our house, good luck. I just am not going to deal with it. I don't like snakes. Now, I know that that's kind of a little fear, and there's other ones like it. Like, some people might be afraid of the dark. Some people might be afraid of closed spaces. Some people might be afraid of spiders or other bugs. And we know, as we face those fears, that we probably can get over them. But then there are some bigger fears in our life. There's some bigger fears like, what's going to happen in the future? I think we understand that fear right now. There's other fears like, am I going to live up to the expectations of my parents or my dear friends? Am I going to fail? There's fears like change. We like our routines, we like our ways, and when a big change happens, it can be scary and terrifying. Then there's the great fear that each one of us faces, whether we like it or not. That's the fear of death. When that question enters into our mind, when we have to look at death face to face and say, what is going to happen to me when I die? There is a little bit of fear in our bellies, a little bit of fear in our heads as we wonder. As we listen to God's word today, like those two readings before, and as we hear encouragement in God's word, we learn from our Savior and from his word that in life and death there is no fear. We do so through the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul wrote this book of Romans, and it's a beautiful book. It's a longer book, so it'll take you a little bit to read, and it's a lot in it. But what Paul does here in Romans is incredible. He lays out chapter by chapter the truths of God's word. And he says how all people were born dead in sin. And that all people, not every single one, was deserving of God's wrath. How all people have tried to earn God's favor, but really only earned death. But then he describes chapter by chapter God's amazing love. That God loved us, that he sent his son to die for us, to live in our place, and to give us life and life eternal. And then he gives it to us as a free gift. And he gives it to us by faith and faith alone through the power of the gospel in word and sacrament. You see, what God has done for us in the word is that he's changed us. That's what Paul gets to in chapter 6. He says, by your baptism, you have been changed. You have been made alive in Christ. You were buried with Christ through your baptism, and now you are raised with Christ through your baptism. You are not dead in sin anymore. And he goes on to say, now this is what it looks like in chapter 7, and we wrestle with sinful battles. But then in chapter 8, he says, even though we wrestle with our sinful nature, and there's a constant fight going on, we have no fear. No fear about death, and no fear in life. And we're going to talk about that for a couple of reasons. But first, let's read God's word as we hear why there is no fear. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. But it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. This is the word of our Lord. First reason why God tells us we don't have to have any fear in life or in death is because we've been made alive. We have been made alive in Christ through the power of the gospel. Paul, when he's talking here in verses 11 and 12 and throughout, he has these phrases that start with if, and it makes it sound like it's in question, but Paul really isn't questioning anything. He's speaking with absolute certainty. He's saying, if that is true, then point B is true. And we know that by our baptisms, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. That's what baptism does for us. Just take a second to think about that. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. The Holy Spirit is living in you, Paul is saying. You don't have to worry about wondering if you're close with God, because God has put his Spirit in you. That same power is in you. And that means something for our life. Paul later said we don't have an obligation. And he says we don't have an obligation to live according to the flesh. When Paul uses these words like flesh and spirit, he's talking about our sinful nature and our new self that wants to live for God and live for God's word. We don't have an obligation to sin anymore. Sin is not our master. When sin rears its ugly head, we now, by the Spirit's power, can say, no, you don't own me. You don't control me. I don't have to do what you say. See, one of the problems is when we live in fear, fear of earning God's favor, fear of what's about to happen to us, so often we can fall to those deeds of the flesh. And we go after them because we're not sure what's going to happen. All you need to do is take a look at your last week and see, what are those deeds of the flesh that I did not put to death, that rather I followed? Paul encourages us and says, if you follow those will lead to death. So put them to death. One of my biggest pet peeves when I watch sports is when you see your team and they get out to this great lead. They're up, I'm going to use football. They're up by like 5 touchdowns, right? And you're thinking, oh, this is great. We have the victory. It's going to be wonderful. And then they relax on defense. And what happens? The losing team starts scoring points. And they continue to score points. But in your mind, you're thinking, oh, it's okay. We still have this lead. Until the fourth quarter happens, and it's near the end of the game. And what happens? You're either only up 7-3, or maybe the game is even tied because you relaxed and you weren't ruthless, or your team wasn't ruthless and putting away the victory. So too with us. When we let fear reign because we forget that the Spirit of God lives in us, we forget that God has made us alive and that sin doesn't own us, we can let sin live. And those deeds continue instead of putting them to death. But God encourages us that we are equipped by the Spirit who lives within us to put those deeds to death and to not live in fear. And how we are equipped is that the Spirit continually leads us. He leads us and reminds us of who we are. Did you catch that? Verses 14 through 17, it talks about this great truth. We are the children of God. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Many times in Bible study or in sermons or as we talk to each other out in the world, we say something. We are God's children. And that's a wonderful reminder. But because we say it so much, maybe it loses its importance to us. Think about that. You are God's child. You belong to the family of God. Paul makes an interesting comparison. He says we don't have a spirit of fear. The Roman Christians that Paul was writing to, they knew this spirit of fear. They came out of a background where if they brought their offerings or their sacrifices to those Roman gods, they were always wondering and looking over their shoulder, did that God accept my sacrifice? Was it good enough? Have I done enough? Or is this just going to anger him even more? with our God, being the children of God, we don't have that fear. Rather, we've been bought with the blood of Christ into the Heavenly Father's family. And so we are like God's children. We are God's children, and like God's children, we get to run up to him just like little children run up to their parents. Maybe you can picture that. I remember myself as a little boy, I was able to, like you, go up to my parents whenever I felt like it. And when I wanted their attention, whether it was convenient for them or not, what would you do? You would tug on their pant leg and you just start going, "Dad, Dad, Dad, Dad," or "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom," whatever it was. And until they finally looked down and said, "What?" Whether they were talking with adults or on the phone, it didn't matter to you or me. You had no fear to go up to them because you knew they loved you. That is the access that you have with the Heavenly Father. You don't have to worry about him not listening to you or being too busy for you or being at an inconvenient time to listen. You get to go up to him and call him Father and be confident that he has heard you. Just like Jesus said when he said today in the gospel, "I know that you hear me, but I said this for everyone else." We get to go to the one who created heaven and earth and call him Father. We know he hears every word because of Jesus. And so when we're fighting sin, we have the Father at our disposal to help us and to protect us. When we're afraid of what's going to happen to us, we have the one who holds the future in his hand, and we call him Father, and we can go to him with anything. We don't ever have to worry if he loves us, because we know he does. We know he does because the Spirit leads us in his word to always see our adoption price. The Spirit leads us to see the cross of our Savior and his empty tomb. The adoption price for you and for me was the blood of God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And at first glance, that might say, well, is God going to kind of be a little upset that he had to give up his one and only Son for you and for me? But as you are led in the Word by the Spirit, you see the truth that God did it willingly and lovingly. There's a beautiful passage in Hebrews chapter 12 where the writer to the Hebrews encourages us to fix our eyes on our Savior, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross and suffering and shame. Our Savior, our brother Jesus, considered it a joy to purchase you with his very own blood, to wash away all of your sins, and to rise and be your life so that you have no fear in life or in death. And so when we're wondering, does God love me, or the devil's coming and attacking us with those temptations, we get to go with complete confidence, the confidence of a little child going to his parents, to our Heavenly Father. Finally, the third reason why there's no fear in life or in death is because we are God's children, and if we are God's children, Paul says, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Arguably, the reason that I probably chose this section of Scripture to share with you today is because of these last verses. I consider that the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. It's safe to say, I think, that we are suffering right now, isn't it? Or if you look out in the world, that the world is suffering. There's a lot of chaos and panic. There's uncertainty, there's pain and sorrow and loss and anguish. There's death all around us. The world is suffering, and not just with the pandemic, but we also still have our day-to-day sufferings, our day-to-day struggles that were going on well before this virus ever hit our lives. But what Paul says, when we face the fear of suffering, when we're wondering what's going on, says you are God's child and therefore God's heir. So look forward. Look forward to the inheritance that you will have. We saw a little preview of that inheritance today. We saw it in those two readings. There's the Shunammite woman who didn't have a child until she came across Elisha, and then she was able to have a child, and it's improbable and it's miraculous. And it's an unbelievable joy in her life until that child dies. Then God showed a preview of the inheritance that is in store for his children. He raised that little boy back to life and restore joy to that Shunammite woman's life. And then we saw it again with our Savior, with his dear friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You might remember Mary and Martha. We give Martha a hard time a lot of times because she was always the busy one, right? And then Mary was listening to God's word. But here Mary doesn't even come to meet Jesus, but instead we see Martha. And what a beautiful confession of faith that Martha gave. She gave a confession of faith that even Jesus' disciples didn't always understand. That she had no fear. She was sad, yes, as she faced death, but she had no fear because she knew her brother would rise again on the last day. Then Jesus, to show who he is and to give us complete confidence and complete assurance and hope, he raised Lazarus from the dead and gave that dear family and dear friends of his foretaste of what's to come. You see, our inheritance is the resurrection of our bodies. We get to look forward to eternal life with our God. We look forward to it with our very own bodies. For on that last day, when Jesus comes back, he will raise up our bodies. It will be your own physical body, and it won't be disease-ridden. It won't be breaking down. It won't have the effects of sin on it anymore. It will be glorious. Paul says, we can't even compare what we're going through now with what we will experience then. It will be far beyond, it is far beyond our imagination, and it will make everything that we went through here on earth a forgotten memory. We have a future that is glorious, a future that is everlasting, a future that is spent with our Heavenly Father and our Savior, our brother Jesus. So when we are fearing life and death, what do? We look forward to our inheritance. We look to that inheritance that is given to us by grace by our Heavenly Father, through our Savior Jesus Christ. We see through life, we see through death, and we look forward to eternity, where we celebrate the Lord who is our salvation. So, my dear Christian brothers and sisters, what's your fear? There's a lot going on, I know, but what's your fear? With Christ, as we see him, the Lord of life and death, and in a few weeks, celebrate his resurrection from the dead, our certain victory, what's your fear? See, with Christ there is no fear, whether in life or in death. He's equipped us to fight our sin against sin. He's called us and made us his dear children. He's given us an inheritance that is far beyond our imagination. So, my dear friends, look to Christ. Look ahead to your future. Run to your Heavenly Father and know that he hears you. Then smile. Smile and breathe, because heaven will be great and it will be yours forever in Christ Jesus. Amen.